Thank you all for joining UFCW's Election 2016 Town Hall with our very special guest today, Senator Cory Booker from New Jersey. You know, there are thousands of UFCW members from all over the country that are on the phone today, and the purpose of this call is to discuss the impact of this election on UFCW members. You know, I understand that politics has become very toxic, and people are tired of it, and people don't want the divisiveness and the finger-pointing that has taken place, but they deserve better than that, and I think that Hillary Clinton agrees. The harsh reality is that far too many people in America are struggling alone today. A lot more needs to be done for the hardworking families and young people who are trying to get a fresh start coming out of high school and college. You know, but Hillary Clinton understands that the hard work in our country should be rewarded in good wages and benefits, as well as the dignity and respect on the job. She realizes a chance to succeed, let alone to support one's family, should not be limited to the richest 1%. But most importantly, she's committed to creating good jobs that our nation so desperately needs today. Simply put, the UFCW, because of your information and the information you've given to us, we support Hillary Clinton because she does, in fact, support us. Now, I'm happy to introduce our very special guest, Senator Cory Booker. You know, Cory was a world-class mayor turned senator. He is an undisputed rising star in the American politics and in the Democratic Party. He's here to speak to us today about the stakes of this election and the importance of the UFCW members' votes. We're excited to have him here with us. Brothers and sisters, here is our friend, Senator Cory Booker. Senator?
Hey, Mark, I can't thank you enough for that really kind introduction. I just want you to know that your union members in my state are some of the most, in fact, some of the most determined people in shaping our democracy, who understand that we still aren't the country who we say we are. We're a nation of greatness, extraordinary accomplishment, but we still have work to do to make the promise of our nation real for everyone. And that's the power of the larger union movement, if you know the history of this country. It wasn't just folks trying to do for themselves. It was folks trying to make real on the promise of America. And I know your workers, when they fight in this democracy for fair wages, for dignity at the workplace, for retirement security, when you fight for those issues, you're not just fighting for gains for yourself and your family. You're really fighting for America. We've got to be a nation where people who work a full-time job are not below the poverty line. We've got to be a nation where every family has access to great public schools for their kids, security at their workforce, security in retirement, the ability to live out their American dream. And so this call is really exciting to me because I have a lot of the foot soldiers on this call, the people out there every day working hard but still finding time, like our ancestors who still found time after working full-time jobs to do something in the cause of our country bigger than themselves. And whether that's organizing people, whether that's voting, whether that's people in the past who participated in activism from the workers' rights movement, the women's rights movement, the civil rights movement, you see people like the folks in your union and the history who are constantly at work trying to make this country real. And that's what's at stake here. I know folks are tired, and I'm tired of the, just the rancor and rhetoric in this election, but I think of a great song by the Sweet Honey and the Rock called Ella's Song after the great civil rights activist Ella Baker, and the song is got a refrain in it that says, "We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it's won." And I know the folks on this call have that kind of fortitude to keep fighting through exhaustion, keep fighting through frustration, because we know nothing that's worthwhile is easy, and we've got to earn every inch of ground that we gain. And so that's what this election is about right now. We know what's coming at us. I work in a Senate where I'm sick of playing defense, trying to protect collective bargaining, trying to protect women's rights, trying to protect public education. We need to be on the offense, and the best way to get there is to put Secretary Clinton in the White House, and especially for those states that have Senate races, to make sure we're sending Democrats down to Washington. And so I want to let you all know that I've had the privilege of getting to know Secretary Clinton on this campaign. I've seen her heart. I've seen her passion. I know that she holds the labor movement at the center of her heart in terms of understanding the importance of the labor movement and good union jobs for securing a nation of a strong middle class. And so I'm excited to answer questions that you all have, but I really come with a heart full of gratitude and just want to give my thanks to everybody on this call.
Thank you, Senator. I couldn't agree with you more. I think that it's clear to us, at least from Donald's position, that he doesn't think that people need a raise, and he doesn't think that that America, you know, should provide better wages and benefits for its workers. And it's clear that that's the case because of how he's treated his workers that he had under contract both in Atlantic City and also Las Vegas. It's also clear to us that if he was really speaking the truth, he would not have built that hotel in Vegas with Chinese steel. He talks about being for workers, but his actions don't necessarily meet that up. You know, we ask USCW members to email us their questions for this town hall. And quite honestly, we're happy to have a few of those folks on the phone to ask those questions right now. And our first question will come from Alicia. Go ahead, Alicia. Please tell us where you are and where you're from and your full name. So let us know what organization or company you come from, and please ask us your question. We're looking forward to it. Alicia?
Yes. Hi, my name is Alicia Brogdon. I'm from wild and wonderful Weirton, West Virginia, a once vibrant city that has seen most of its jobs either eliminated or shipped overseas. What does Secretary Clinton and the Democrats plan to do to create good jobs, jobs that pay a living wage and provide benefits, and then keep them in America? And from which industries do you anticipate these jobs will emerge? I ask these questions because I work for the Kroger Company. I am a cashier. I am a member of USCW Local 23 out of Canonsburg, PA. And these are the things that are very clear to my heart.
Senator? First of all, Alicia, I'm so grateful for your question. I think that your question, even though you're in one part of the country, the great West Virginia, I think that folk are have that same question all over the place. So let me just get right to it. One thing I know already from conversations with Secretary Clinton is that I believe and I have expectations that she's going to come right out of the blocks with a massive job effort in trying to get a major infrastructure investment made. We've got trillions of dollars of infrastructure debt, either roads, bridges, highways, all the things that need to be repaired that could put thousands and thousands of Americans back to work at the right time, by the way, because the cost of capital is so low. Anybody who looks at this from a fiscal prudence sense, this is the time to do it, especially now that people need jobs. So I think that's one thing that she's going to do is try to create jobs. She also believes we've got to stop this perverted tax laws, the kind of tax laws that Donald Trump took advantage of, not to even pay taxes. The tax law is designed to support the wealthiest in our country and not working people. And a lot of these tax laws incentivize people to move jobs and opportunity overseas, to invert their companies. And so she's a big believer that we need to start making our tax system work for the average working person and not just the millionaires and billionaires. In fact, things like carried interest and others are things that she thinks need to be changed. And we need to be investing in the things with those dollars to create jobs in America. And some of those things are very basic, like investing in education for our kids so that they can get the training they need for 21st century jobs. And even investing in apprenticeship programs, because we also know that the jobs of the future don't always require a college education. There are many jobs in America, thousands literally, that are not being filled because we don't have enough people trained in the skills trades to get those jobs done. So I know what Secretary Clinton believes, which is that we've got to get America either in a more robust fashion back to work. President Obama took us out of the worst recession when we were in free fall, losing hundreds and hundreds of thousands of jobs a month, stabilized our economy and slowly growing it back. And it's time for Secretary Clinton to get in there with a bold vision for investing in America, investing in Americans, creating the right incentives so that we grow jobs at home here in America.
Senator, thank you so much. I think that it's extremely important for us to create as many jobs as we possibly can. You know, we're affected in our industry, in the retail food industry and in retail, whether or not people have money in their pockets to buy things at retail stores. And quite honestly, when people do have money in their pocket, that means that people come into our stores. Senator, we have another question from Stephen Brown. Stephen, are you on the line?
Yes. Thank you, President Perone. Hello there, Senator. My name is Stephen Brown. I'm calling from Columbus, Ohio. I live here with my wife and our two beautiful children. We both work, but sometimes when our kids don't feel well, we have to choose between taking care of them and taking care of the bills. Please tell me, how will voting make a difference on paid leave? I don't want to have to keep choosing between my finances and my family.
Oh, brother, I cannot tell you how outrageous it is in this country that we don't have paid family leave. I just came out of Columbus yesterday. I was campaigning there and talked about it to a lot of folks, this very issue. It is outrageous that Afghanistan and the Congo have paid family leave. All of our industrial peers have paid family leave. But the United States of America puts families like yours in the gut-wrenching challenge of either having to go to work sick or if they have kids sick at home, have to decide between whether being there for them and keeping the rent to keep paid and yourself from being evicted. It is absolutely outrageous. And I want to tell you, when I first saw Secretary Clinton up close and personal, I have this belief that if somebody is nice to you, but they're not nice to the waiter, usually means that they're not a nice person. In other words, I like to watch people and how they treat folks from all different backgrounds, all different stations. And I was in a diner with Secretary Clinton during the primary, and we were trying to get something to eat, and the server comes over, and Secretary Clinton and her just get talking. She's a single mom with kids, and I was stunned when the two of them just started, you could see their hearts swelling and their connection between the two women, because the woman was telling her about exactly that she, when her child got sick, was frightened and sick, she had that gut-wrenching reality of how do I be there for them when I have to work for them at the same time. And when I saw her face, Secretary Clinton's face, I knew in that moment that what she was fighting for was not to be the first woman president, not for some kind of ambition, but I knew what animated her and what motivated her was this savage injustices that exist in our country, like our inability to do what every other industrialized nation is doing to take care of our families here, the fundamental building block of America. So I'm going to tell you right now, I know where Secretary Clinton is going to fight and push for that. I'm hoping that we have the Senate back so we can align the Senate with her and get legislation introduced and passed. And I'm hoping that we can put enough pressure so that the House follows suit, because the current situation is absolutely unacceptable to me. And I don't want to make promises to you that we win this election and it's going to change, because nothing happens without a fight. And even the civil rights legislation, I remind people, we have to try many, many times before civil rights legislation passed. Well, this is fundamental to what is, to me, what makes America great, is our love of our families and our understanding that strong families make for a strong nation. So this is something she supports, that she's going to fight for. God, if Donald Trump gets in, it's something that he won't support and will fight against. So we've got to win this election so we can be in the fight and have the players on the field to possibly get this done.
Stephen, are you still online? Stephen? Okay. I was trying to figure out whether Stephen was the gentleman that I canvassed with this past weekend. Let me say the following to you, Senator. The gentleman that I was with in Columbus, Ohio this past weekend worked extremely hard to make sure that we were, in fact, going to get people out to vote and is very concerned about our democracy today. I'd like to go to the next question. The next person is Dennis Shaw. Dennis, would you tee up your question, please, sir?
Yes, and thank you, President Perone, and good afternoon, Senator Booker. Thank you very much, and hello, this is Dennis from St. Louis. I am a grocery worker here in St. Louis and a proud member of Local 655 USPW. My question is, I've heard a lot about Hillary Clinton's plans to make college more affordable and even offer free community college tuition. I'd like to know, how will her education plans affect someone like me who has been out of school for some time? I also do have a city job, as I've said, but I've always had an extreme intention in going back to school, definitely to advance my own career. What options will be available for someone like me?
Hey, Dennis, I'm so grateful for the question. Hey, Mark, I just want to let you know, one of the other great things about Ohio is that they've got Sherrod Brown there, who's one of the greatest champions, as well as the caller himself. There's just good people in that state who are fighting a good fight. And, Dennis, I'm so excited about St. Louis because you have Jason Kander, who's running there, just a great young man who really not only believes in college affordability, but if we can win that race, it's going to be one of the great ways that we're going to take back the United States Senate. But I want to just be specific on your question. You know, Secretary Clinton has a clear plan that says you're going to have options if you want to go back to school and get your education. And so for families with incomes up to $125,000, her plan says that you will pay no tuition at state public colleges and universities, covering more than 80% of all families. So that's a big start. The next part of her plan is that every student from a family that's making $85,000 a year or less should be able to go to a four-year public college or university tuition-free. She also wants to make community college free and really supports this idea that community colleges in many ways are the gateway to people in their careers and to further college education. So she believes that these apprenticeship programs that often are community colleges like you see in New Jersey, but just being able to have free apprenticeships themselves for welding, nursing, mechanics, she supports a bill that I've championed, in fact, that would get more incentives out there to get those kind of apprenticeships. So we have to understand that this is not, again, charity to students, that this is about our economic competitiveness globally. We in America have fallen out of pace with our competitor nation in the percentage of our country graduating from college. And we know that the more of a nation's people learn, the more that nation's economy earns. And while other countries are competitors, like Germany, who's reducing the cost of college to about 4% of median income, America's cost of college keeps going up. It's upwards of about 52% of median income. This hurts our economy, and especially the debt that kids are growing with. It's now the most crushing debt in America, outpacing car debt, outpacing the debt of home ownership as well, inhibiting people from investing in homes and the like. So we have to do something about this, and that's why Secretary Clinton's plan, making sure that people are paying no tuition at public and state colleges, if you're making up to $125,000 a year, free community college, these are the kind of things that are going to enable not only you and your family to have more choices, but enable our economy as a whole to grow stronger.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Doreen Thompson. Doreen, would you tee up the question, please?
Hello, my name is Doreen Thompson. I work at Kroger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I came to a union job later in life due to the 2008 financial crisis. Excuse me. I am very fortunate to have a job, to have job security, affordable health care, and a defined pension plan because of our union negotiated benefits. So my question is, what is being done to protect these things to ensure other hardworking people will be able to retire with dignity?
Thank you for your question, Doreen. And unfortunately, this is going to have to be the last one because I've got to run into the airport here in Madison, Wisconsin, and get on a plane. But I just want to be – I'm so grateful for your question around health care because we still have work to do. The president's plan has got a lot of good things done, but we've got to make sure that we are defending a lot of the things that are being done, a lot of the ground that we've gained. And that's why I'm so glad. I talked to Sherrod Brown when I was in Ohio yesterday. he's one of the great leaders in defending the attacks we see on a lot of the gains that have happened from collective bargaining. And the fact that work is changing so dramatically that many people who have multiple employers and have dozens of different employers through their career need to make sure that a lot of their benefits are more portable. And so you see a lot of very enlightened people like Sherrod and myself and others who are trying to say, wait a minute, we've got to make sure that people are able to keep their health insurance no matter what job they have. We've got to protect collective bargaining rights so that people who have good union jobs and good health benefits can better secure those benefits. And we've got to make sure we're still a country that since Obama, remember before those days, the number one reason why people were declaring bankruptcy in America was that they couldn't pay their medical bills. And so now we've got a country where insurance companies can't deny you health insurance because of a pre-existing condition, or can't deny your children health insurance because they have a pre-existing condition like diabetes, but that everybody has, and the kids can stay on their parents' health insurance until they're 26. So many of these gains we've got to defend. And so I'm looking forward to having a strong Senate where we can defend the gains that we've made and then do the work necessary to make healthcare in this country stronger and better, and there's still a lot more work that we can do. So I appreciate that question. And Mark, I really appreciate your union, all the people on here, the team that is out there, because we both know that elections are won not by the candidates themselves or by what's happening in Washington. They're won in the trenches. They're won on the streets of our cities. They're won in our towns and neighborhoods. And your union is America, really is America. These are hardworking Americans that are throughout our country, thousands of people who are dedicated to the ideals of our nation and willing to work for them, not just to their hardworking job, but do more to secure the benefits, the security, and the strength for themselves, their union, and America. So I'm grateful to you all for being so engaged in this election that is so consequential. So thank you, everybody, for spending some time with me.
Senator, thank you so much for joining us today, and I know that our members appreciate it. We certainly recognize that your schedule is rather hectic right now, and we thank you for taking the time to explain some positions to us, and we certainly wish you the best of luck in the future. We think that you have a very, very bright future, and we're excited to be affiliated with you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. All the best to you all, and let's onward to victory. Thank you.
Okay, we have one more question, I think, from Will Reynolds Young. If this is the Will that I know, I think that he served as one of our gold interns at one point in time. I think it was last summer. And I think Will has a question about healthcare, and I will, while I'm not as sophisticated as maybe Senator Booker is, I can certainly try to answer the question. Will, would you go ahead?
Absolutely. Thank you for hosting this call, President Perrone. It is indeed the Will that you know. And I think we have a long history of me asking the tough questions sometimes. So I hope this one doesn't faze you and you can appreciate it too. My name is Will Reynolds Young, and I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I've worked for Giant Eagle as a front-end coordinator for 10 years now as a member of Local 23. And healthcare is my top priority in this election because of my own health concerns and my father's health concerns. I'm fortunate enough to have health care through my union job, but I know that everyone is not so lucky. And I've read that premiums on state health exchanges may be rising as insurance companies attempt to further game the system. How can we curb costs and ensure that all Americans have access to top quality affordable health insurance?
Well, Will, I would say the following to you. I know that healthcare is a concern to you based on our conversation that in our email exchange that we had the other day, that you're moving to Austin, Texas to work with your, I think it was your aunt, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, healthcare, we have to defend and expand, in my opinion, the Affordable Health Care Act, which covers now 20 million people. You know, we've had a lot of Republican-led attacks on the landmark law. We tried to build on the success and bring the promise, quite frankly, of affordable health care to more people and make it a public option possible. Look, we were always in favor of the public option anyway, that everybody in this country would have health care. We don't think that health care should be anything but a right. We think that it's unfortunate that Senator Kennedy died before it could be modified in a way that it was going to be the most effective for all the people in the country. But Hillary has indicated that she's going to support letting people over 55 year olds buy into Medicare, to bring down the out-of-pocket costs like copays and deductibles. American families are being squeezed by out-of-pocket health care costs, and Hillary believes that workers should share in a slower growth of the national health care spending through lower costs. You know, but we have to reduce the cost of prescription drugs as well. Prescription drug spending has accelerated from 2.5% in 2013 to 12.6% in 2014, and no wonder, it's because three-quarters of Americans believe prescription drug costs are unreasonable. And, you know, Secretary Clinton believes that we need to demand lower drug prices for hardworking families and seniors, and I think that the way that we do that is that we allow the government to negotiate prescription drug prices, much like they do for Medicare and Medicaid. But they weren't allowed in this particular bill because the Republicans pushed back on that, and we got a bill that was less than perfect. But we do have a lot to do, and I think she is a person that's willing to help us do that. And I think that, you know, candidate Trump has indicated that it's his intention to get rid of the health care bill, which would knock another 20 million people out of the system, which is, you know, the reason why we tried to do it in the first place. But health care costs are dramatic, and there are things that we need to be concerned about, you know. So I hope, Will, that was somewhat helpful. I'm certainly not as articulate as the senator is, but as you well know, USCW negotiates contracts every day that have health care included in them, and that's, you know, the reason why that we do that. We want to, you know, at least negotiate quality and affordable health care to our members, because you never know when something's going to happen to you. You never know, no matter how old you are, if something comes up and reaches out and you know, an accident happens, like, you know, it's happened to people in my family, and I'm sure in yours. So with that, we have one more question, I think. Andre, are you on the phone? I don't think Andre's on the phone. So with that, let me do the following. I think that brings to a close at least the folks that had submitted questions prior to. I want to thank you for all your questions. It's been a great discussion, I think, and I would like to do the following. I want to thank you all who hung up, you know, who hung in on this phone call, and I hope all the USCW members understand the importance of their vote in this and all elections in the future. You know, we work in grocery stores, retail shops, food processing, packing houses, even car washes, and we're the hardworking people who make this country run and hum every single day. You know, we have the power to make a difference on issues that matter to our daily lives. Those are bread and butter issues that we deal with. Your vote is, in fact, your voice. I want you to use it to make the politicians and the government listen. This election is about what matters to you and the outcome of your future, your community, your family, and our entire union family. And I tell you the following, regardless of who's elected this coming November, we are going to mark down their promises and their commitments that they made to us, and no matter who's elected, we're going to make sure they fulfill those promises. Because if we have to fulfill our responsibilities, they should too. If you need any voting information, I'd like for you to text VOTE, V-O-T-E, to 698-329, and the USCW will send you your polling locations and other details. If you have any more questions, please reach out to your local union. and let your voice be heard on Tuesday, November the 8th, for a better America. All of us have earned it, and we deserve it. Thank you so much for being on the call today, everybody. I appreciate it. I really do.